so great about salvation. And we are going to finish this series here in the month of May. And then I believe we're going to go into studying the book of Galatians, one of my favorite books in the New Testament. When the whole Bible talks about the supremacy of Jesus Christ. And I don't think you could find anything better to study on. Amen. Amen. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1. And we're going to spend most of this morning in the Gospel of John. In Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1, the Bible says, "Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him?" Let's pray. Dear precious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. God, we thank you for our dear missionaries, Bob and June Bevington, that are with us this morning. Lord, we thank you for their faithfulness and their work, dear God, in getting the Word of God out. Lord, we pray that you would bless this week, Father, in doing the ministry of the seed line, of taking the Word of God and putting it together, Father, and getting it out to the regions beyond. We ask you, Lord, that you would bless us with workers. God, bless us with equipment that runs well and perfectly. God, you would give us a heart of one accord. And Lord, we would glorify your name, Father, as we do your work. Lord, we pray that you would bless this hour in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm sure Pastor Skyver is going to be sharing with you, but we're going to be doing 15,000 pieces in the language of Thailand, the Thai language, and it is going to be a tremendous opportunity. I want to challenge you, if you can, please carve out some time. I believe we're going to be starting. I haven't really gotten with Pastor to know exactly when he wants to start, but I think for the Bobby, does he say 9 o'clock? Okay, 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. All right, 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. So we're going to have morning shifts and afternoon shifts and evening shifts. So we're going to have a shift for you, and you can show up anytime during that time. And I want to encourage you to come out. You say, "Well, I can't stand." That's okay. We've got jobs sitting down. You say, "Well, I don't like to sit down." That's okay. We got jobs where you can stand up. You say, "Well, I can't do much but fold paper." Well, bless God, we got jobs where all you need to do is fold paper. Amen. And if you like to live dangerously, we got a what's that Herschel cutter run, Brother Bob? How many? What's the pounds of pressure that thing will cut? A couple hundred thousand pounds of pressure on that cutter? Quite a bit of cutter. I mean, you can go in. I mean, we could probably take half this pulpit and cut in half in that paper cutter. So if you want to run some, if you've always wanted to run some big machinery, we got some big machinery for you to run. You say, "I can't run anything more complicated than a stapler." Well, bless God, we need you then, because we got jobs running staplers. We got a job for everybody, amen? And if you can't handle any of that, we're going to have somebody running coffee and donuts, amen? All right, so we got the job for you. And you don't want to miss this opportunity to put the Word of God together, to realize that your hands are taking and putting together the Word, the precious and preserved Word of God, and getting it out to a nation of people, most of whom who have never heard the gospel. I've had the privilege of spending 3 months in Thailand, in Bangkok, Thailand, doing some missions work there. And I was there, and I was living with a missionary. And I said, "Okay, today we're going to talk about Noah and the flood." And they looked at me and they were like, "Who's Noah and what's a flood?" And I said, "Well, what about Abraham? Let's talk about Abraham." And they said, "Abe who? Lincoln?" Folks, these we take for granted, knowing that the first book of the Bible is Genesis. And we take for granted that everybody around the world has heard about the flood and that knows about creation and has heard about Abraham and Isaac and David and knows about Israel. Folks, they have no idea. They have never heard. It'd be like me coming up here this morning and saying, "Well, we're going to take our Bhagavad Gita this morning and we're going to turn to the third book of I don't know, some Hindu name, okay?" And you guys would look at me like, "Well, what's he talking about? I don't even know what a Bhagavad who is, all right?" A Bhagavad Gita is the scriptures, if you want to use that term. It is the writings of the Buddhist faith. And just like if I would start to tell you stories out of the Buddhist faith, you would say, "What are you talking about?" Folks, that's how it is over there in Thailand, in most of the Asian countries. They have no idea. Most of them have never held a copy of the Word of God. And you and I have the opportunity this week to come and to put together scriptures, a preserved Word of God in their language that they can hold, that they can handle, that they can take to their home and read and have the Lord, the Holy Spirit, work in their hearts. And by the preaching of God's Word and the sowing of the seed, get people saved. Folks, this is one of the most precious ministries that I've ever been introduced to. And I want to encourage you to come this week. Amen? Amen. But we are going to turn our hearts right now to what is so great about salvation. We've been asking this question now for about 5 weeks. What is so great about salvation? Why is it that the Thai people need to hear about Jesus Christ and about being saved? Well, we've learned all kinds of fantastic scriptural truths about why salvation is so great. Today, we're going to look at some fringe benefits of being saved. There are some things that come along with your, when you get saved, you got redeemed, you got justified, you got forgiven of your sins, you got put into a right standing with God. But my friends, there is so much more. Time would fail. There would not be enough books to contain how wonderful it is to be saved. And I want to encourage you this morning, if you are saved, to know how great your salvation is. And if you're not saved here this morning, I want you to know what you're missing out on and give you the opportunity to be saved. Now take your Bibles and turn back to the Gospel of John. We're going to be in what's commonly referred to as the Upper Room Discourse. In John chapter 14, I had to, in preparing a message like this, you have to limit the focus of your study, or we would be from Genesis to Revelation, and we could be here for hours and days talking about all the wonderful things that come along with being saved. I've picked out just 15, just a modest few, just a scraping off of the top of the wonders of salvation for you this morning. Number one, in John chapter 14, I'm going to begin my reading in verse 17. John chapter 14, in verse 3. Jesus said, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Now, we already learned about my eternal heavenly home that I get when I get saved. I get to go to heaven. That means I don't have to go to hell. Anybody excited about not going to hell in here this morning? Amen. I'm excited that I'm not going to hell. But more than I'm excited that I'm not going to hell, I'm excited that I get to go to heaven. And there's going to be many wonderful things in heaven. The tree of life and the river of the water of life and the throne and New Jerusalem. All kinds of great things. But number one, one of the fringe benefits of being saved is I get to be with Jesus. One of the great fringe benefits of being saved is that I get to be with Jesus. Oh, what a wonderful thing. Eternity will not be enough time for me to get to know my blessed and wonderful Savior. Can anybody say amen to that? Amen. I'm excited about meeting the Apostle Paul. I'm excited about seeing my dear grandfather again. I can't wait to shake Moses' hand. I can't wait to get to meet Adam and find out what it was like back in the Garden of Eden. But my friends, above all these things, I want to be with Jesus. And I'm so glad I'm saved this morning because I get to spend all of eternity with Jesus. Look at John chapter 17 and verse 24. John 17, 24. Jesus speaking here, he says, "Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world." My friends, we get to be with Jesus. We get to be with him and marvel in his glory. My friends, the sun shining in its strength on the most bright day in the middle of summer has no candle of comparison to the glory of our great God. And I get to be with Jesus. Number two, not only do I get to be with Jesus, but back in John chapter 14 and verse 12, verily, verily, I say unto you,
He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Not only do I get to be with Jesus, I get to do Jesus's work. I get to do Jesus's work. How many of you, was you when you were a little kid, and you saw, if you were a little girl maybe, or you were a little boy, you got to see your mom or dad doing something, and you're like, ooh, I want to do that. I want to do that. How many of you did that? How many of you had children that did that? Okay, all of you have little kids, man, they see mom and dad, they're doing something, man, they want to do it. It's usually driving. Ooh, I want to drive. My friends, we only get to drive. Not only do we get to be with Jesus, we get to do Jesus's work. Oh, I'm so glad that in the book of Corinthians, Paul says that we are ambassadors for Christ. That God, in our stead, that we beseech you on his behalf. We are ambassadors for Christ. We get to do God's work. My friend, you can search high and low. You can start early and work late, but you'll never find something so rewarding, so challenging, so meaningful as doing the work of God. Amen? I get to be Jesus' hands here on earth. I get to be Jesus' feet here on earth. I get to be Jesus' mouth here on earth. And I got a big one, and I want him to use it. Amen? Amen. I get to do Jesus's work. Number three, in John chapter 14 and verse 13, Jesus says, "And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." Number three, what's one of the fringe benefits of being saved? I get a direct phone line to heaven. I get a direct prayer line to heaven. Let me tell you something. Benny Hinn can stick his prayer line. I got a prayer line right into the throne room of God. Amen. TBN's prayer line's got nothing on Jesus. Amen. I got a direct prayer line to heaven. What's one of the greatest things about being saved? I don't have to pray to a saint. I don't have to pray around some beads. I don't have to pray to my pastor. I don't have to pray to some saints. I get to go right to the big guy. Amen. You can excuse my irreverency, but I get to go right to the commander in chief. I get to go right to the Almighty God. That's one of the fringe benefits of being saved. That when I get down on my knees and humble myself and I get on my face before God, I don't have to wonder if my prayers get checked at the gate. I don't wonder if my prayers are just reaching to the ceiling. My friends, one of the fringe benefits of being saved is you pray in Jesus' name. I'm not good enough to go into the throne room of God. Brother Rob Pofel deserves no special favor and treatment, but I don't go to the Almighty in the righteousness of Rob Pofel. I don't go to the Almighty with the goodness and the efficaciousness of Rob Pofel. I go to him in the holiness of Jesus Christ. I can go to him because of Jesus' sake. Because by the wonderful, precious, shed blood of Jesus Christ on the cross, I am made a child of the Almighty. And I can go to my Heavenly Father. Amen? I got a direct line to heaven. Number four in John chapter 14 and verse 20. John chapter 14 and verse 20. And I'm going to read through 21 through 23. "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him." I'm sorry, am I in John chapter 14? Yes, I am. All right. I'm in John chapter, what am I reading? I'm reading something wrong here. John 14, 20, I'm sorry, I started in verse, I'm sorry, I started in verse 21. I said, that didn't look right. Let's back up to verse 20, shall we? John chapter 14 and verse 20. "At that day, ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is thou that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him,
and we will come into him, unto him, and make our abode with him. Number four, I get to be a part of God. Now, my friends, I don't understand that. I don't understand how a mortal human being saved by the wonderful grace of God gets to have communion with an almighty, eternal, everlasting, omnipotent God. I just believe it because God says so. Let's look in John chapter 17 and verse 21. John chapter 17 and verse 21. John chapter 17 and verse 21. That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, and they also be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou hast given me, I give unto them, that they may be one, even as we are one. My friends, I don't understand how I get to sit in the heavenly places with Jesus Christ. I don't understand how God could be so merciful to me that I would get to rule and reign with him. But I'm so glad it's a part of the package deal. Amen? I don't have to understand it to say I'm so glad that I get to be a part of it. Amen? But I just know that that I get to be a part of God. Because he says he's going to make his abode with me. I don't understand that, but woo, I'm excited about it. Amen? Amen. Number five. Number one, let's by way of review, I get to be with Jesus. Number two, I get to do Jesus' work. Number three, I get to have a direct line to heaven. Number four, I get to be a part of God. Number five, I get to have a personal guide and book from God. Turn back to John chapter 14. John chapter 14 and verse 26. John chapter 14 and verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Now, where do they write down what Jesus said unto us? In the Bible. Oh, I thank God for my Bible. Can anybody say amen for their Bible? Anybody excited about coming in this week and putting together Bibles? Say amen. Amen. I'm so glad I got a Bible from heaven. But not only did I get a book from heaven, I got a personal guide from heaven. What a wonderful fringe benefit of being saved. God loved me enough and God loved you enough to send you an instruction book. Bible, basic instructions before leaving earth. That's what the Bible is. And you and I get to put it together this week and hand it out to people who've never had the basic instructions before leaving earth. Because, oh, my friends, people need to hear the word of God and be saved. You know, one time, one of the most privileged things that I've ever had is when I went to India, I got to have a personal tour of the Taj Mahal. We were there, and there was many people there, but one man came up to me and said, would you like to see around the Taj Mahal? I'm like, yes, I would. And so for the next hour, he proceeded to take just me alone, and we went from the top to the bottom to the front to the back, from the west side to the east side. And he showed me many wonderful intricacies. He showed me the beauty of it. He showed me the depth of it. He showed me the ingenuity of it. He showed me the architectural wonder of it. But my friends, there is nothing in this life that compares to a personal guide to the infallible, indestructible, indescribable, precious, holy Bible. You and I, as a fringe benefit of getting saved, have the Holy Spirit of God living in within sight of us, and we get a personal, guided tour of the Word of God. As you and I read the Word of God, oh, how the Spirit of God, He'll quicken a verse unto you. What a wonderful thing. How many times have you read a passage of Scripture, and you've read it over and over and over again, and in one time, you've read it, and it just leapt off the page. Can I see your hands? Can I see your hands? Oh, that is getting a personal guided tour of the Spirit of the Word of God by the Spirit of God. I'm so glad that I don't have to try and figure out the Bible all on my own. I got a guided tour. That is number five. Number six, I have peace from heaven. In John chapter 14 and verse 27, Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth give I unto you." He says, "Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you love me, ye would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I." Number six, I have peace from heaven. Now this is, Jesus qualifies it. He says, "Peace I leave with you." Whose peace is he leaving with us? He says, "My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you." You know what peace is? I looked that word up in the dictionary. Peace means to be at rest. Peace is the absence of war. If you think of war, you have war over here and peace over here. So in the worldly sense, peace is the absence of war. Peace is the absence of problems. You have turmoil and you have peace, right? That's not Jesus' peace. Jesus' peace is best described as when Jesus came walking on the water in the midst of the storm. See, that's Jesus' peace. You see, the world can rage on around you, but you can have peace in your heart. I don't care what trials may come, what tribulations may come, what heartaches may come, what problems may come. Your peace, your rest, your tranquility doesn't have to depend on what's around you. It has to do with what's within you. That's where our peace comes. The Christian's peace doesn't come from without. The Christian's peace comes from within. Jesus said, "My peace I give unto you." He says, "Peace I live with you. My peace I give unto you." My friends, I'm so glad. One of the fringe benefits I got when I got saved is I've got heavenly peace. Number seven, we must move on. Number seven, I get to glorify God. In John chapter 15 and verse 8. John chapter 15 and verse 8, he says, "Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples." Number seven, I get to glorify my Heavenly Father. Oh, I'm so glad I get to glorify my Heavenly Father. You see, when you're saved, you can't bring glory to God. You're an alien from God. You're not a part of the promises of God. You're not a part of the family of God. The Bible says we were enemies of God. We were at enmity with God. But now that I'm saved, I get to glorify God. My life can take a heavenly spotlight and send it up and say, "Don't let me show you how good I am. Let me show you how good God is." Because if there's anything good in me, it doesn't come from me. It comes from God. And I have the opportunity to tell people not how great I am, but how great a God I serve. That's a wonderful privilege. That's one of the greatest privileges in all the world. Number eight, I get personal tending from the Almighty God. Look up in John chapter, this goes along with point number six. But in John chapter 15 and verse 1, he says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is a husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit." Do you know that one of the fringe benefits of getting saved is that God is watching over your life? How many of you ladies plant flowers? How many ladies plant flowers? How many of you guys plant a garden? Plant a garden? All right. You know what it is to get out there, I'm a lawn nut, all right? I'm a yard nut. And I get out there and I work on my yard. But you know what? I watch my wife as she tends to her flowers. Each flower gets a little bit different care. Don't give me the flowers. I'd take the weed whip to them, all right? Flowers, grass, you know. I don't know the difference between a columbine and something else, all right? I've learned. If it's green and it sticks up above the grass, it must be a weed. All right? Take it off, all right? We just want to see green going across there, all right? That's why my wife puts a wide berm in between my grass and her flowers. But my wife will take and she'll individually care for each plant. Everyone needs something different. This needs a little bit different food, and this one needs a little bit different cutting, and this one needs a little different care. I'm so glad when I got saved, my Heavenly Father became my personal groomer. He tends to me. He prunes me. He looks at me. He knows what my potential is.
and he cuts me back, and he encourages me, and he helps me, and he watches over my life. Oh, that's a great friend's benefit of being saved. I got to go on because there's so many more. Number nine, I get the joy of the Lord in John 15:11. John chapter 15 and verse 11, he says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." You know, I looked up that word joy. It means to shout. It's all right to shout. Amen? Amen. It's all right to be excited. Jesus says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." My friends, if you're full of joy, how many times have you seen somebody win the lottery? And they're like, "Woo! All right? They're excited, man. I'm so glad I don't have to win the lottery to get excited in this life. I can say, I'm saved, glory to God. I've been redeemed, glory to God. I'm going to heaven. Man, I'm excited about that. My joy can be full." Yeah, woo, all right. They get to have joy means to shout. It means to be excited. It means to be overrunning. That's what it means to have joy. And I'm so glad I don't have to depend on this world for my joy. I have joy in Jesus. And bless God, I'm going to let it flow. I'm going to let people know how excited I am about being saved. That's one of the great fringe benefits of being saved. Number 10. I get to be a friend of Jesus. Look at John chapter 15 and verse 13. One of the great fringe benefits of being saved, he says, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you." My friends, what are the great fringe benefits of being saved? Is I've got a friend in Jesus. He is the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. My friends, you may not have a friend in this world, but if you know Jesus Christ, then you've got a friend of friends. Amen? Amen. I get to be a friend with Jesus. Number 11, Jesus prays for me in John chapter 17 and verse 9. John chapter 17 and verse 9. Jesus says, "And I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but that for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine." I'm so glad Jesus is praying for me. I'm glad my mom's praying for me. I'm glad my grandma's praying for me. I'm glad you're praying for me. I'm glad my wife is praying for me. But I'm so glad Jesus is praying for me. Anybody happy out there that Jesus is praying for them? Do you think he's got a direct line? I think he's got a really direct line. He is God. All right? My friends, Jesus, if you're saved this morning, Jesus is praying for you. Oh, what a wonderful, reassuring, comforting thought to know that if there's anybody who knows what I need, Jesus knows what I need. If anybody who knows what's coming up in my life, Jesus knows what's coming up in my life. If there's anybody who knows the depth of my sorrow, the extent of my heartbreak, it's Jesus. And if there's anybody who knows how to pray for me, it's Jesus. And I'm so glad that one of the great fringe benefits of being saved is that Jesus is praying for me. Not only is Jesus praying for me, but in John chapter 17 and verse 15, Jesus says, I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world, but thou shouldest keep them from the evil. Number 12, I am kept by God Almighty. My friends, the devil himself can try and storm the gates of my salvation, and he can't have it. You know why? Because God Almighty's keeping me. I don't know who's holding on to your salvation, but the Almighty God's holding on to mine. I couldn't lose it if I tried. Now, my friends, I may lose my car keys. You may lose your glasses. I may lose everything else in my life, but I'll never lose my salvation because God is keeping that safe. I am kept by the Almighty God. Number 13, I have a Bible that sanctifies me. In John chapter 17:17, it says, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." I have a precious, preserved, inspired word of God that helps set me apart for his great and gracious work. You see, sanctified simply means that I'm set apart. And that's what I want to be, my friends. See, the world's over there. And I want to get more out of the world. I want to get more out of the world. And I want to draw closer to God. I want to be set apart for the Master's use. I want to be a vessel meet that He can use. That's what I want for my life. And I'm so glad God gave me a personal guided tour through the Holy Spirit of God, through His precious Word of God, that helps set me apart to do the wonderful work of God. I've got a Bible that sanctifies me. Number 14, in John chapter 17 and verse 20, he says, "Neither pray I for these alone," the disciples and the others that were there, "but them for them also, which shall believe on me through their word." Now, if you think about that, what happened after Jesus ascended in Acts chapter 1, the apostles went out, God sent the promise from heaven, the Holy Spirit of God, they preached, and 3,000 people got saved. And what happened? 3,000 people got added to the First Baptist Church of Jerusalem. Not only am I so glad that I'm saved, but I have a church that loves me and supports me. God didn't just leave me by myself. He sent you to help me. He sent you to encourage me. I get notes from you, and I thank you for that. Annie, thank you for your card this week. I appreciate that. There's others. Lou sent me a card this week, and I appreciate that. And others, I heard that you wrote my mom, and I'm so glad you did. That encourages me. My friends, God didn't just leave us alone. He gave us a church to love us and support us and encourage us and occasionally give us a kick in the pants when we need it. Amen? Amen. I'm so glad I've got a church that loves me and supports me. That's one of the great fringe benefits of being saved. Now, lastly, in this particular lesson, I could go on and on. Oh, my friends, the depth of the wonders of salvation is truly marvelous and unknowable. And this is the only verse that I chose to go outside of the Gospel of John here. But turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. I could think of no greater verse to end this particular lesson on than Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. What's so great about salvation? It's got so many wonderful benefits. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, the Bible says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose." My friends, what's so great about salvation? I know that my God is working in my life. I know that my God is working in my life. I have gone through many heartaches in this life, and I know that you have too. I know that you have gone through many victories in your life, and thank God I have too. We have gone through many deep waters in this life, through health, finance, and family. Whether that be a loss of a family member, a tragedy in your family, many of you have gone through some deep waters. But I thank God that my God is working in my life. And I have a God that I can trust, because I know that no matter what comes, no matter what befalls me, no matter what obstacle I must go through, what burden I must bear under, that my God is working in my life. That's a confidence that I have. That's a confidence that you have. That you can say, come what may, I know that my God loves me. And He has a wonderful plan for my life. My friends, all things do work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. That's a great fringe benefit of being saved. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed, please. As I look around, most, I would say, in this room are saved. You've been saved by the wonderful grace of God. My friends, I want you to rejoice and be happy. I want you to grow closer to your Savior every day. Thank Him every day for the wonders of salvation. But maybe you're here and you're not 100% sure that you're saved. You don't know for sure that if you were to die today, that heaven is your eternal home because Jesus has forgiven you of your sins. Salvation is a wonderful free gift from God. It is simply accepted, number one, by recognizing and admitting that you're a sinner. Admit that you've sinned against God. The Bible says, and then repent. Tell God you're sorry that you've sinned.
Number three, turn with faith to the living God. Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins to pay the penalty for you so that you can have eternal life through Him in heaven. If you'd like to accept Christ right now, to receive Him into your heart as your Lord and Savior, the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Jesus will not turn you away. If you'd like to pray with me right now and receive Christ, repeat after me. Say, Dear Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. And dear Jesus, the best I know how, I ask you to forgive me of my sins and to take me to heaven when I should die. I believe, Jesus, that you died on the cross for me to forgive me of my sins. And Jesus, the best I know how, I ask you to be my Lord and Savior. Thank you, Jesus, for loving me and saving me. With every head bowed and every eye closed, is there anyone here this morning that would raise their hand and say, Brother Rob, I trusted in Christ right now. I just asked Jesus to save me. Is there anybody that would raise up their hand? Is there anyone? Amen. I see that hand. Let's pray and we'll ask God to close this lesson. Precious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. Thank you for the hand that was raised, O God. Lord, we thank you for saving us. Lord, may we marvel in the wonders of how much you love us. We ask all this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, and you are dismissed.